God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
I see one with dust on it back there. Yeah. Most of them are pretty worn, though. That's a good sign. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that in a powerful way, you put this word in our hearts today. Holy Spirit, we look to you as you lead us into truth. Anoint me as I speak. We open our hearts to you. We want to receive your word. So we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for your life you've given us, that, Lord, that we can even know you and hear your word and understand it. We give you praise. Be glorified at this time as you fulfill your purposes in Jesus' name. Amen. You heard me say the New Year's is just such an important time to us. As we get back in the groove and really examine our lives and take a look at the last year and ask God to forgive us where we messed up and get us back on track where we've strayed and make adjustments, whatever we need to do, to have a fresh start. Last Sunday morning, if you weren't here, I'd really encourage you to get the CD or get the tape. And so we talked about the experience that Peter had when the Lord was teaching and ministering to multitudes, so many so that he was so crowded that he borrowed a boat, and it was Simon Peter's. It was their first encounter. He pushed off from the shore and he taught the people the word. So when he finished teaching the word, then he spoke to Peter and gave him instructions and told him to push off, launch out into the deep for a great catch. And Peter said, "But Lord, you know, we toiled, we labored all night." He said, "But nevertheless, you know, by your word, you know, we'll do it." And as you know what happened, that Peter had such a great catch of fish that the next began to broke, and they called in the boats of those that were helping them, and the boats began to sink. And that then they came to know the Lord in a different way than that. It was a life-changing experience. Peter was convicted for his sin and said, "You know, just depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And the Lord called Peter and other disciples that day and said, "From now on, you're going to be fishers of men." Their lives were changed forever. And I thought, maybe you're like Peter. You know, Peter was unsuccessful. He wasn't doing very well. As you look back over the last year, you can see it just didn't produce the way you really expected it. Things didn't happen the way you expected. Maybe you've been toiling and laboring, you know, for not much. God wants to give a great harvest to you. First, they spent time in the Word. There has to be a relationship with the Lord. Then he gave instructions. Then Peter obeyed those instructions. It wasn't what he'd done before and said, "Oh, I know all about this. You know, I don't care what you tried. I don't care what you've done." It's when God begins to give instructions to you, it'll be all new. I don't care what you think you know or what you've experienced or how well you think you know how to do it. God will give you instructions, and God is the one who has a heart to see increase come into your life. He's the God that fills up nets till they're almost break. He's a God of plenty. Can you say amen to that? More than you think he's going to do, he'll do as you put him first and obey him. And then they followed after the Lord. You're going to come to know him in a new way. So God surrounded this whole event with his purposes of touching other people's lives with his life. This is an important time as we get back on track. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. You know, the world makes resolutions to the Lord, and not very many people keep them at all. I read in one poll, it was like over 90% of them were broken before the first month was up. You know, they're just empty promises. But it's different with us. And that this, it's so important to us. The Lord has something, of course, that he wants to bring, bless you in immediate blessings, and he'll do that as you put him first. But he's got something greater than that. He's got something greater than just going to the end of January or for a few months. But he wants to bring eternal blessing into your life. Blessings now and forever. The things we do now affect our tomorrow. They affect our eternity. What we do now, what I do now, is going to affect what happens in my life later. The seed that I sow. And as I obey God, I have my message is called God's Top 10 Goal Picks for 2006. That God's goals for you are different. I've had some weeks to pray about this and seek the Lord, and I really believe that God has these for you and for this church. Number one, the Lord says, become more like Jesus, my son. Not just in 2006, this is a lifelong commitment. Top of the list. I've got 10 of these. I'm going to give 5 today, 5 next week. Just, you can, you know, catch your breath now. Become more like Jesus, my son. You know that it's always been God's plan and God's desire that there would be many sons and daughters made in the image of the eternal son. That's always been the plan of God. The son that he delighted in, the eternal son forever, that there would be many sons and daughters made like that son, to multiply that, to fill creation with a family. It says in Romans 8, 28 and 29, and you know, familiar with this, but so often we don't take it in context. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was the firstborn. That he's molding us, conforming us into the image of his son. So we read that verse. We know all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But we don't bring into contest. It has to do with his plan of being conformed into his image. And so that the Lord's molding, shaping us. He does it through blessing. He does it through pressure. Blessing and pressure. Blessing and pressure. Blessing and pressure. You know, it's just a balance, just what to do so we don't get discouraged. He'll lift the pressure off and then he'll bless us. And then so we don't get all egoed out in a big head, you know, then he brings us down again and deals with us. And that we have to understand what he's doing. If you don't, then you'll be discouraged when trials come because you don't have the big picture. It says in Ephesians 1, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, separated, hagios, different, without blame before him in love, perfect, righteous. So he knew you and chose you before the foundation of the world. He has a purpose in mind. It's not just for us to have a good time here on earth. Or it's not just for us to struggle away down here on earth for naught. And we know that it says that he gave gifts, that he gave those leadership gifts. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body. Listen, till we all come in unity of faith, so into a knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man. It means a mature man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord's purpose, he didn't just save you to get you to heaven. And if, you know, if that was the case, then, you know, when you get saved, we just baptize you and hold you under. Just hatched and dispatched. You know, God's got a purpose for you being here, not just to get to heaven, but the Lord arranges a whole training course called your life to prepare you. Be molded in the image of his son. If you don't see that, you're going to faint when trials come. See, there's no reason for it. And be critical and bitter and upset and lose your faith when things happen instead of seeing a loving God. It's like a child that's getting ready to go in the street and get hit by a cement truck, and the mother or father stops the child, and the child cries and shakes their fist at them because they couldn't have their way. We're just trying to prevent something. It was going to be tragic. That's what God does in our life. that thank God that He has His hand on us and just doesn't let us go our way and whatever happens, happens. But the Lord is preparing us to live with Him forever. He's got something even greater than this for us, I promise you. Something so great it's beyond imagination. So the Lord wants to bring us into that maturity. He does it through instruction, His Word, as we read the Word of God, that the Word of God instructs us, renewing the spirit of our mind. So we begin to walk in faith and instruction and see and understand truth and light. And He uses leadership to do the same thing as we come here and have the Word as a priority in our lives, as God speaks to us through leadership in His churches. And that we grow and we mature. He also brings maturity through us as we experience Christ. And so there's things that happen in our lives that He arranges, His blessings and trials both. But that there's answered prayer and we begin to trust Him and see Him and know Him and thank God and experience Him. Just knowing Him, coming to know Him in a deep way and knowing His ways in our life as we grow and mature. If we trust Him, we know His ways best. And then He brings maturity to us through trials and challenges and discipline. So we have to understand this. The first thing is that we've got to see this so we'll have a right heart. So we'll cooperate with God. It says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. We're children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So if we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified with Him. We see what's coming. He says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. You got to get your eyes up and see what's going on off the immediate, off the circumstances. That we run this race with vision and see the goal. Not get bogged down with all these things that'll pull us aside that are trivial compared to what God has. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. So God wants us to endure, to go the distance and even count it joy. Because we, not because of the pain or the discipline, but because we understand the purpose that He has. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be mature and entire, wanting nothing. Not only now, but forever, as God's bringing us into that place of maturity. Count it joy. Not complaining, murmuring, shaking your fist at God. Why could God let this happen? The truth of the matter is, I don't understand why I don't go through more trials because I know how much God needs to do in me. When I look at life and how short it is and the finish line that, you know, is not that far away compared to eternity, I'm wondering, man, God, how come I haven't gone through more trials? Because there's a lot to be done before He takes this boy to heaven, I'm telling you. Don't look at me so self-righteousness, so I see the same stuff in you. It's a wonder we don't go through more. God discipline us, but He balances it in perfect love and grace, doesn't He? You know, with His blessing and with His discipline, but count it joy, knowing, understanding, having faith in His love for us. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, through these trials, through problems, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found the praise and honor of glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When we come that day and we've run the course, He's finished what He started in us and presents us blameless before Him as we come into the image of His Son. We've got to cooperate. You know, it's just for a season. But there's got to be a change of perspective that we see what God's doing. And then we cooperate with God. We have an attitude of gratitude for what the Lord's doing in our life instead of complaining and unbelief. You know, that God wants us to see. God wants us to understand. This is just for a short time. It's just for a season. Change of perspective. God's got something special prepared for us, every one of us. I want us then to look at number two. The Lord says, to give me, God, pleasure. Man, so simple, so profound. It says in Revelation 4:11 that thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Not only were, but are. Everything's to give pleasure to the Father. Our life's to give pleasure to the Father. Not for God to give pleasure to us, although that's his heart. He wants to please us. He loves doing good things. He is the gift giver. He loves to bring pleasure to his children. But we can't live in self-centeredness, always saying, you know, what'd you bring me, God? Give me this, give me that. It's not enough. It's not big enough. Didn't cost enough. But God wants us to come into a maturity, to be like his son, to live, to bring him pleasure. It says in Psalm 103, verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure, to live for him, to please him. You know, maybe we can start by saying, you know, seeing what doesn't please God. You know, and if it doesn't please God, change it, or quit, or do it. Whatever you need to do to please him, do it, or quit doing it. It's to give him pleasure. But that's how we measure everything that comes to us all the time. Does this bring pleasure to God? Does it not bring pleasure to God? It doesn't seem that hard to me to do his will. Just to bring pleasure to God. That's the litmus test. Be open to whatever. You know, let's look at how about sin in our life? Lust of the flesh and various areas of lust in the flesh. What are we involved in? Then stop it. Bring pleasure to God. What are we looking at? Lust of the eyes. Does it bring pleasure to God or not? And stop it. Let's please him. What about the things that we do in secret or openly? Whatever. Let's, you know. About greed. Things that don't please God. You know, rebellious attitudes. Disobedience to his will. Wrong relationships, it's the wrong job, the wrong use of your money, whatever it is, I don't know. Let's bring pleasure to God. Let's stop it. Complaining. Gossip, talking about our brothers and sisters. Unfaithfulness. Wrong attitudes about things we do. Unforgiveness. Prejudice. It doesn't just have to be about a black-white thing or other races. It can be prejudice about a lot of different things. Somebody can have money and we're prejudiced because they have money. Or somebody's poor and we prejudice against the poor. Or because somebody's educated and we're not. Or because, I mean, you know, you can be prejudiced against people without hair. Stop it. What displeases God? Lying. Dishonesty. Just, you know, not quite living up to it, you know. Broken promises. Oh, I won't tell anybody. Right. Selfishness. Judging other people. Hypocrisy. What displeases God? What pleases God? You know, to live to please him. To have faith pleases God. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Faith is believing in God, believing in his word, believing in his promises, knowing his heart, believing and knowing he is a rewarder of those that seek him. Put him first, he's going to reward us. He loves us. That's faith. I've got faith in God. Do it his way. It's the way. It's the right way. He's righteous. There's no other way to go. To have a heart for him pleases God. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward them. David says, prove my heart. Look at my heart. See, seeking God pleases him. It shows you do have a heart for him. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That pleases God. What can you do to draw near to God? You know that. I don't have to tell you that. To obey God, that pleases him. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. If a man love me, he'll keep my words. Are you keeping God's word? You know, I should ask you, do you love Jesus? Oh yeah, I love Jesus. Are you keeping his word? Sometimes. Well, then you don't love Jesus if you don't keep his word. It's proof that you love him. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we're in him. When we keep his word, we know that he's in us. People that don't know Jesus don't want to keep his word. They have no heart to keep his word. It's one of the signs. We're convicted when we do wrong, and we have a heart to do it. What pleases God? To be upright, to be pure, to be truthful, to be honest, kind, loving, merciful to people. I read the scripture this week a couple of times in places in Matthew. You know, the Pharisees came and they were all uptight, and he says, I want you to find out what this means. It's better to be merciful than to give sacrifice. Isn't that cool? He says to the Pharisees, go out and find out what this means. Tell me what it means. Just go find out what it means. God would rather us be merciful to give than to give sacrifice. He cares about our heart, loving people, caring, relationships. That pleases God. To be forgiving, gracious, worshipful, thankful. I want to say this, church. It's, you know, when we come in here and worship God, you know, we need to do it with our heart. When the choir sings, you know, the choir, they're here for many services. They spend hours practicing. They give their time. You know, they got families. They have husbands, wives, they have kids. They put that aside to come and prepare their hearts. They don't do it for ego or pride. You know, you don't see them walking out there, this is about me. Look at me, man. I'm going to sing now. Check this out. You know, they do it to bring glory to God. They do it to bring the presence of God in our lives because they knew there's value in what they do. They continue to do it, and they're willing to go through the things they do. And all I'm saying to church, let's appreciate it. You know, when they hit a home run like this morning, every person in this room should be on their feet thanking God for who he is, but thanking him for the body. And you know, in one of the prophets, and it's in Malachi, I think, that it says that they came in and the priesthood's given sacrifices and saying, you sniff at it. They come in there, they're the ones bringing the rotten sacrifices, and then they're critical about what's happening. And then we can do that. We can come into church and we can be critical. Didn't smell right to me. Choir didn't meet my expectations. That's not the word that I need. God says it is the word that you need. It may be not the word you want to hear, but that's the word that you need. Quit sniffing at it and come in with an attitude that we're going to receive something from God. Whatever it is. Let's have an attitude of gratitude. That's what I'm talking about. That gives pleasure to God. And so God wants us to have a right attitude, to be giving, generous, right heart. You know, as we walk in his word and walk in his will and walk in his ways and his work, that's pleasing to God. We have right thoughts. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you. You'll have peace with God. And you'll have peace in your heart. Think about it. So what do we do? Do what pleases God. Don't do what doesn't please God. If it's not true, then that doesn't please God. If it's not honest, that doesn't please God. If it's not just, that doesn't please God. Let's look at it from the other way. If it's not pure, that doesn't please God. What are you looking at? What kind of pictures are you looking at? What are you watching on the TV? What movies are you looking at? What kind of language is in those movies? If you're going to anything but G movies these days, you can go to PG, they're raunchy. I mean, you know, is it pure? Does it please God? Can you in the middle of the movie say, you enjoying this, Jesus? Isn't this great? There was only 15 swear words in that one. There was only 3 nudity scenes. Come on. Presenting this pure and in this lovely, please God with your life. Let the word really affect the way we live. So many Christians, I heard a, I don't know, I forget who it was now, Charles Stanley, someone had some stats. They said over 90% of God's people don't use the word of God as a rule in their life, but do whatever they want. They don't look at the world through the word of God. They don't look at their life through the word of God. I'm talking about church-going people. It's time that, you know, this becomes a rule of our life, not what's going on in society or what they're doing around us or what Hollyweird is producing. You know, is there good report in it? Is there any virtue in that? If there isn't virtue, stop it. If there's not a good report in it, if it doesn't edify, stop it. If it's not praiseworthy, stop it. Here's the third thing. The Lord says, daily abide in my word. Daily. Daily abide in my word. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I'm in Psalm chapter 1. But his delight is in the word of the Lord. His law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does will prosper. I'm telling you, when you abide in the word of God, things will start happening in your life. When you start putting that word in your heart, it's a book that brings prosperity to your life. There's life that begins to happen as you put God first. And let that word get in. It'll change everything about you. It brings faith and instruction. It brings light. Just reading the word, it tells us in the 4th Psalm, brings healing to our flesh. It brings strength and freedom and love and joy and peace and direction to us. It brings wisdom. The word of God brings encouragement. Every time I read it, it just encourages me. Man, it brings us peace and brings me favor. It's life-giving. It's life-fulfilling. See, Jesus is the word. You get the word in you, you're going to get Jesus in you. Things are going to happen. It says, no wonder, in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, daily in the temple in every house they cease not to preach and to teach. Not just preach, teach the word. Notice in the temple in every house, when there are small groups. We come together on Sundays, but they went from house to house. They did it every day. They were in the word of God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. As Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, and you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it'll happen. Walking with God's daily business. It's relationship. It's not once a year, once a month, once a week. It's this daily business. God's called us to be in his word every day. It's about a relationship. He says, you can't do anything without me. Listen. So real in my heart. As God is speaking to this congregation and to his people because he loves his children so much and that he wants to bless you so much. He's got so much for you prepared in this coming year. But he says, it'll only happen if you do it my way. If you continue to do it your own way, that's what sin is about. That I know better than the Father. And that we really don't believe him, because if we did believe him, we'd take time to do it. There's people that really didn't believe that smoking was bad for your health. A lot of them are dead. Number one killer. The pleasure was more important. They wouldn't believe it. Listen, God's telling us more important things than even, you know, physical death. He's talking about eternal life and eternal death. To do it God's way. But God wants to bless you now. He wants us to be healthy and happy and joyous and prospered. He says, I know how it works. Trust me. I made you. I know how all this happens and works. I'm the owner. I wrote the manual. Trust me. You know, that it has to happen every day. You know, in the Old Testament, we know how manna came down from heaven every day. They had to go out and collect that manna. And if they tried to keep it over till the next day, it was rotten. It was stinky. There was worms in it, you know. The, what you got from God last week, last month, yesterday, is not the same as fresh manna. It's baked fresh in heaven's bakery every day for you. God wants you to get in the Word and get a fresh Word today. It'll be peace in your heart. You watch all those things you're carrying, the anxiety and all that stuff. It'll be lifted from you. God will bring peace to you. I'm challenging the church this year to read the whole Bible through in a year. It's not that hard to do. You can do it. Some of you never read the Bible through. You know, you hit and miss. It's kind of here and there. And praise God you're reading, but... And it's not that hard to do. You just read two chapters from the Old Testament every day, one chapter from the New Testament, and then read one psalm. When you're done with Psalms, just read a proverb. You have extra time. Say, well, you know, I tried that. You know, it didn't work. Because you didn't do it. You didn't disciple yourself. You let other things crowd in. You know, if you would just... How much time you spend watching TV a week? How much you spend time watching TV every day? And if you just, if this is how much you watch TV, if you just give him this much of that time, he could easily read two books of the Old Testament, one book in the New Testament, and a psalm. Hello. And even if something does come up, you know, to take away your time, you know, whatever, you know, that instead of getting discouraged and say, oh man, I'm supposed to be here, but I'm behind, you know, I'm behind 18 chapters. So what? You know, just keep going. So at the end of the year, you know, when you get to January, you didn't finish it all. So you go an extra 2 weeks and finish it up. So you go an extra month and finish it up. You got it done. And God doesn't have you on a timetable. He doesn't say, if you don't finish it by here, you're going to be penalized and the things that you read are not going to come to pass. You know, you know, just do it. Start in and do your best. You know, if you get behind, just finish it up and do it. Don't quit. Finish it. You can do it. So I'm encouraging you to do it. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand and say, I swear before God written in cement, I will do this thing. No, you don't want to do that. But I'm saying, how many of you are going to make a commitment to read the Word of God? And you're going to do it. Let me see. You just slip up your hand. Every day. You know, if you know you're not going to be able to read on Saturday, then read a little extra, you know, on Friday. Or read a little extra on Sunday or Monday to make it up, you know. But you can do that. It just takes some time. You know, and it's really cool. If you and your wife are both reading, you can share some things that God's sharing with you. It's great. Everything in the church, the Lord surrounds it. It's all around His Word. It's what we do on Sunday mornings. It's what we do on Sunday evening, no matter what else is happening. That's what Sunday school is about. That's what Wednesday nights is about. That's what small groups are about. You can get the Word. Don't tell me. That's what Beacon Institute is about. That's what it's all about. Say, oh, I'm not getting fed. Well, there's something wrong. It's not on God's part. It's not on our part. Because, man, there's plenty that you can be fed. I mean, it's there. There's a diet for everybody. I don't care, you know, whether it's Italian or whether it's Mexican or you. We got a diet that's going to suit you, you know. You can eat it. There's good stuff. Somebody say amen or praise God or that's right or oh me or whatever. So... Here's the next thing, number four, spend daily prayer time with me. In the Lord's Prayer, they said, we never heard anybody pray like that. Oh, show us how to pray. He was talking directly to God like he knew him, like he knew the Father. You know, they never heard anybody pray like that. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Not this month. Today is every day we pray. Prayer is communication. It's relational. It's an intimacy with God. It's spending enough time to speak to Him and share and cast cares on Him and for you to hear His voice. Speak and listen too. If in a marriage you never spend any time talking to your wife, you know, it doesn't work. You got to talk to each other. You can't have a breakdown of communications. Well, what I thought you meant was, well, I didn't hear that. And how many of you are married? You know what I'm talking about. You got to communicate. Three of you were honest. Jesus said men should always pray and not faint. He says, you have not because you ask not. Praying always with all prayer, praying without ceasing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. David prayed three times a day, morning, at noon, in the evening. He says, shall you hear my voice? Daniel prayed three times a day. We see it in the New Testament, prayer. We've got five prayer meetings a week. You know one of the keys to leadership in this church? People that know how to pray. I don't care how much money they have or how much money they gave or what family they came from or what clothes they wear or even if they went through Bible college or not or even if they pastored another church and it's happened. I want to know if they're praying people. I want to see them in prayer meeting. I want to see them united together with the body of Christ. They're committed. It shows their faithfulness. It shows their commitment. It shows that God is a priority in their life. It shows that they believe in prayer. Those are the people I want to be leaders. We're not coming together to figure out how to do it my way. We're figuring out how to do it his way. We want to hear from God. We want to make decisions and hear the voice of God. Can you say amen to that? And you'll find out, when you put God first and begin to pray, God will promote you and things will begin to happen in your life. Whether it's church leadership or whether it has to do with leadership in your business or just for your home, things begin to work better. You need to pray and begin to seek God. But I want to encourage you, get involved in their prayer meetings. You know, we have five of them. Sunday morning before the early service, Sunday evening a half hour before church, Wednesday at noon from 12 o'clock to 1. We fast every week. You come in, people join us in time of prayer. Every night, every Wednesday, before the evening service, we pray at 6:30. And Saturday night, we come pray here, 5:30 to 6:30. It's awesome. Once you start doing it, you wonder why, you know, you never did it. Because it's just brings such victory to your life. Having people pray with you. Man, they're the kind of people you need to know in the church. People know how to pray. Here's the last thing. Lastly, the Lord Jesus says, renew your commitment to my body, the church. These are God's goals for us. Not lose weight. That's fine. Do that. We're talking about God's goals. Renew your commitment to my body, the church. You know, when we take this as God speaking and God's word, it'll have a new weight. This isn't about me. This profession wasn't my idea. I'm telling you, it wasn't. If there would have been a list of things I wanted to do, this not would have been last on the list. It wouldn't have been on the list. What we're talking about today is the Lord, his word. You've not been hearing John Lloyd quotes, you've been hearing God's word. This is God, you're speaking to us by your spirit. It's your word. I pray, Lord, we'd really hear it and hear your voice by your spirit. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, considering, provoking us to love, to good works, to God's will, to God's purposes. So much more as you see the day approaching, it's the coming of Christ in these latter days. Man, we need to be in fellowship. Something we do regularly. Before I was in ministry, I didn't have to decide if I was going to be in church. I made one choice. I'm going to be in God's house. I'm going. If it snows, I'm going. If it rains, I'm going. If I'm sick, if I can walk, man, I'll go for a healing. Unless I'll infect everybody else. I'm going to be there. So I don't have to pray. Well, I don't know. It looked cloudy today. What do you think? We should go to church or not? That's been settled. I made a commitment. I'm going to be in God's house. I made a commitment to him. I'm going to put you first, Lord. Doesn't have anything to do with my feelings. Doesn't have anything to do with the weather. Whether you're live in Michigan or Minnesota or Florida. Putting God first. It's koinonia is the word fellowship. We koinonia, fellowship together. It means communion, communication, partnership, participation. That's all communication. God wants us to koinonia together. We commit ourselves to regular services to be here, whatever fits your schedule, but we make a commitment to be regular so it doesn't depend on whether we have company from Michigan or whether the dog, you know, got sick, you know, in the newspapers or whatever, you know. Put him in the closet and come to church. He'll still be there. He'll live, I promise you. I mean, just don't let the devil rob you from God's house. Just make a commitment and do it. You're maced. When you make a commitment, the devil throws everything your way to try to keep you from the things God wants you to do. Be faithful. Be a part. Be a part of Sunday school. Make a commitment to join the church. You know, function in the body. Join a small group. Be a part of small groups. They're happening. And God has set the members, every one of them, notice, every one of them in the body as it pleased him, as it gives him pleasure. He sets every person in this room in the body somewhere. There's not one of us that God didn't have a place for you. The book of Ephesians tells us to speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly and joined together. It's compacted by that. Every one of us is a joint supply, something that another doesn't have. According to the effectual working, as we effectively work every part, then it says, then the body makes increase, it's edified, it's built up in the love of God. It's every one of us. This is God's will. So there's five of God's top 10 goal picks for 2006. He says, become more like Jesus, my son, and trust me in the work that I'm doing in your life. And have faith to see and know and trust me and see where you're going and what I'm doing. And rejoice. Cooperate with me. Walk in faith. Trust me. Be a testimony to people around you. To give me, God, pleasure. To please me. Everything we do, ask questions. Does this please God? Does this not please God? Daily abide in my word. Spend daily prayer time with me. Renew your commitment to my body, the church. Father, I pray today that your spirit would bring these truths with such gravity, such force, such conviction into our hearts. But Lord, we wouldn't put up barriers and excuses. If we'd be honest, we'd be open, we'd allow the conviction that you're bringing, Lord, to go deep in our hearts, and we just, instead of arguing with you, making excuses, or we just do it. Father, we make those commitments today in our heart. We know it's by your spirit, it's by your power, and by your faithfulness. You've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, by your mighty power. You'll do it as we commit ourselves. I thank you for this people. What an awesome people. As they do have a heart to worship and have a heart to be instructed and have a heart to give and to witness and to be a light. I thank you. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring maturity to us in this church body as we move forward into this next year. It's going to affect us. It's going to affect our vision and what you've given us to accomplish the church. It's going to affect, Lord, our individual families as well as us as individuals. It's going to affect what we do in businesses and jobs and our place in the communities and, Lord, wherever we go and the people we're in relationship with as we really do it your way. We're going to see, Lord, the awesome blessings and results in our lives. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just before we dismiss this morning, I want to give an opportunity because there may be someone here that you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. You can know him. You can meet him. Nobody gets saved by being good. We don't get saved by behavior. We get saved by belief. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of our good works. So nobody can brag about it. I can't brag about a thing. Jesus did. He did it all. He became one of us. He suffered. He paid the price. He died. He paid in full all my sins. He took the punishment that I had coming. And God the Father was satisfied as his blood was shed. And that God says, I'm pleased. And anyone that puts their trust in Jesus and what he's done will receive forgiveness of sins, and that I'll come into him and they'll know me. The moment you believe and trust him, he'll send his spirit into your heart. New birth, regeneration. He stands just waiting for the invitation to come into your heart. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. If anyone hears his voice and opens the door, he'll come into them. They'll fellowship together. And if that's your heart today, You know, maybe you've been raised in church. I was. I didn't know Jesus. I just knew about him. Maybe you've been in all kinds of sin. You say, God can never love me. Oh, he does love you. He came to seek and save the lost. He didn't come for those that are well. He came for those that were sick. I was one of them. Not only was I raised in church, man, I got way far away from church. God loves you. He paid the price that you can know his forgiveness and know his life today. No matter what you've done, where you've been, your failures, your sins, he'll forgive you and cleanse you as if you never sinned. That's the word justified means, just as if I've never sinned. God looks at us through his son just as if we've never sinned at all. Whew, man, what a gift. What a gift. No more guilt, no more condemnation. Forgiven, accepted, all assurance of his love to us. He lives in us, dwells in us when we ask. If that's your heart today, I want you just to be honest and you say, Pastor John, will you pray for me? And you'll slip your hand up wherever you are. Say, man, I've never done that. I've never trusted in Jesus alone. And I want you to pray for me. Thank you so much. I've watched God's hand on you all during church. I know God's really touching you, really doing something in your life. I know that. Who else? You just slip your hand up right now and you say, pray for me. When I see your hand, you can put it down. Thank you so much, sir. Yes, and I see your hand there. Thank you so much. I see your hand there. Thank you so much. How many more? Yes, thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand in the back. How many more? You just slip your hand up. How many in the overflow? You just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I know I need him. Yes, I see your hand there, and I see your hand. I see your hand. How many more? You just slip your hand up when I see it. Yes, I see your hand in the back. Thank you so much.